We pursue a life worth living
together.
Hello, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 11 of the Relentless Pursuit Podcast. Goodbye, 2020.
See ya, 2020.
Is that how you feel about it?
A little bit, yes. Not entirely.
Well, I don't know if I feel like that, but...
No, this is not good riddance.
It's not good riddance. So... Okay. Before we say goodbye to 2020, and for some it'll be good riddance to 2020, I think it's important to really consider like the idea of reviewing your year, having kind of like a year in review of sorts, because you don't know where you're going until you know where you've been. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of taking some time to think about the year and what's happened and kind of what's unfolded and what you've learned, the things that were good and the things that were not so good are a great tool in helping anybody to prepare for what's ahead in 2021. Yeah. And so I think that is really important.
Yeah, and this is really the first of a two-episode series, we'd like to call it, because as we prepare for 2021, there's this first important step of looking back at 2020 and taking a look at really where we were a year ago as we were preparing for this year, what transpired. And that's the first step. And then the second step is really like using that feedback that we're giving ourselves, that reflection, to try to lay the best plan that we have for the year ahead.
And I know what some people are thinking, like some people are very like anti-New Year's resolutions. And, you know, I was asking our audience on social media, like, what do you think the last two episodes of the season are going to be? And someone even says, is this a look at Jordan and Rosanna's New Year's resolutions? You know, kind of making fun of
it a
little bit.
We're not that hard to figure out.
Yeah. But we've been doing this in some way, shape, or form for about 5 years. And I think it started once, because my birthday is at the end of the year. And then it's like my birthday thing, or it's Thanksgiving, my birthday, Christmas, New Year's. And so we usually get some like date time around this time of year. Mm-hmm. And it transpired, I think, the first time over sushi, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago.
Always a good conversation over sushi.
Yeah, just we were kind of talking about, all right, well, like, this is how the year went. Like, what do you want to do? And I think it was you, like, challenging me, like, what do you want to do this next year? Like, what's on the horizon for you? What are you looking at? Mm-hmm. And then we've done it, like, over coffee at Starbucks. Like, same thing, an end of the year kind of date, just kind of talking through, like, what are our goals as a family? Now that the kids are older, like, what do we want to do? And I think we've gotten better at it over time because it's become like a practice and a habit.
Yeah, and it always changes. And I think it adapts to just who you are at that moment in time and the way you think about things. So there's no one set process, but we will kind of walk through our process for kind of how we're going about it this year. And yeah, I've heard the same thing where people look at New Year's as almost like this arbitrary kind of date. Like, it's, you know, January 1st is really just another day. And it is, but it is a great opportunity where even if it's imagined, it's this feeling of like turning the page, you get a fresh chapter that you can write. And so I think at some point, whether it's annually, whether it's quarterly, like reflecting on where you're at. Like we had previously been having a conversation about questions we ask ourselves. And one of those questions is, are we getting closer or further away to each other and to the goals that we envision for ourselves? And so the end of the year for us is a really great time to really like intentionally explore everything related to that question. And hopefully that helps us move closer towards one another and everything that we envision for the next 365 days.
Yeah. And when I did this last year, I didn't get this process done. It took me the entire month of January to actually like have the time to kind of sit down and formulate kind of some of the goals or some of like the interests I had for the new year. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people are like, well, if it's January 1st or it's January 2nd and I haven't set those goals, then it's too late. And so I like that idea of like whether you do it quarterly or annually, and it's annually in June. So maybe your calendar year is June to June or like whatever your time frame is, like, this is a valuable thing to do at any time of the year. But it took me all of January to like process through where we had been the year before and what I wanted. And it took me a while to be able to name what I wanted. And so if it takes you a long time and you're not ready to start on January 1st, then start on February 4th. Like whatever that day is, it's going to take some time to come up with a plan.
Yeah. So whenever you happen to be listening to this, whether it's at the end of the year or in the middle of the summer, maybe that's the first thing that we would encourage you to do is like take the time for yourself to begin that reflection on what has transpired over the last, you know, phase of your life, whether it's been the past year or however you define that. Because that is, it seems like you're saying it's a really intentional process, and you can't just scribble a few notes on a napkin one day and feel like you're set for the next year. Like it almost takes this mental like coming around to really understanding the circumstances and the goals and the opportunities, and that you can't just fabricate that in one quick sitting.
No. And I got this, it was a goal planner that a friend of mine recommended last year. She said, I think this would be right up your alley. I've mentioned things from it throughout some of the episodes this year.
Yeah, hold it up. Let's promo this. This was an intimate friend of yours for quite some time at the beginning of the year, I remember.
Yeah, it's called the Cultivate What Matters 2020 Power Sheets Goal Planner. So Cultivate What Matters has a whole line of things, but it gets you to basically like name your strengths, your fears, what's holding you back. And like, it helps you to like create these goals in these different areas of your life. And so it asks you to like rate these categories in your life and where you're at. And then looking at like, if I rated family as a 2, obviously I have a lot of growing in that category. So then it like helps me kind of like name and then have a plan. So like name the goal. So this is the goal, and then plan it into achievable steps and action points and things that I could not check off, but keep myself accountable for.
Right. And so, in my process for reflection and for planning is different. So, I think both this week in this conversation and also next week's conversation, you'll hear, just kind of some of those steps and the processes that we each have. So one of the things that we wanted to do with one another, like we normally do, but this time we'll record this conversation, is reflect on this past year. Because I think on the one hand, a year ago, we were planning some big things for 2020. And so we have to look at what were we planning for? And then we also look at what did we actually get? And certainly every year throws us, you know, some wrenches, and, you know, we have to be resilient and flexible. But I think it goes without saying that this year had some of the biggest wrenches, and how we adapted to that in the way that impacted the best laid plans is what we want to explore.
Yeah. All right. So do you want to kind of dive in and just go back and forth between some of the goals you set, and if you achieve them or what they looked like, and kind of just dialogue back and forth?
Yeah. All right. So what I did last year was I established, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 categories. And I just have a few bullet points. There was a lot more like reflection work that went into it. So I looked at 5 categories. And one of the first things that I wanted to share was, and I'm holding this up for anyone viewing this on YouTube, I have a little chart just on a notepad. Remember last week we were talking to Jason Waller, and he at the very end just mentioned like the value of like handwriting things on paper. And I don't do that often, but I do like this time of year for a lot of that reflection.
That's how I know when you're serious, is when the legal pad comes out and the pen and it's like kind of everywhere in the house for a few days. I really know you're kind of working through something. So it's interesting, that connection.
Yeah. So the first thing that I've been reflecting on was about a year ago. I actually dated this, so November 2nd, so over a year ago. I asked myself, what would the ideal day look like? Because at the time, I was really trying to make the most of being a professional, and also make the most of just my role here at home. And I felt like there was so much going on in both worlds that I almost needed to like sort it out, to be like, all right, how can I try to, you know, pursue what's best for me, what's best for just becoming, you know, better professional, and also being a better spouse and better dad and so on. So I listed this, and I'll just read this. At 4:45 a.m. is where I wrote down I would wake up and exercise. Then at 6 would be just my daily prep and family time. And then from 7 to 5 each day, it's just labeled work. From 5 to 9 each day was labeled family. So like there's a very clear like timestamp for like both of those things. And I think it was helpful for me just to turn one off and then turn the other one on. And then at 9 p.m., I wrote down produce/read/Rosanna. So... you were, and then 9:45 was sleep. So you were apportioned
15 minutes.
A questionable 45 minutes. And it was, but this helped like give shape to be like, okay, like I definitely want to exercise. I definitely want to read. Like obviously I'm going to be working each day. So that's going to take up this amount of time. And it didn't work out quite exactly like that, but at least starting at about that point last year. And then at the beginning of 2020, this was helpful for me to just kind of like define when I could target each of those core areas that I was trying to build into. Now, another thing that I didn't list here, but we ended up talking about was on Saturdays, starting, I think January of last year was when, maybe even before that, but when I would go to Starbucks for like 3 or 4 hours in the morning, and I'd get there at like maybe 5:30 in the morning and work for like 3 or maybe 4 hours. And then I could still come home by 9:30 or 10 o'clock and have the whole rest of the day. But I'm feeling like I had a chance to pour some time into something that I felt like I needed to work on that particular morning. That got squashed real quick come March when nobody was going anywhere. And I haven't been back since, actually. So that way of just going about like my weekends was changed as well. But I think for the most part, this daily schedule, which is not a very sophisticated schedule, like has stuck in some profitable ways. And I feel, and we'll dig into this a little bit more, but I feel like that just helped me kind of separate the different areas without, if they get blurred together, then I get a little confused and just overwhelmed about what I'm trying to do at any given moment. So that helped me just isolate and focus.
Yeah. And I would say that you probably this last year have been the most consistent with waking up early, especially with the intention of working out. This is the most like on it you've been for an entire year because you carved out that time starting early. So it's, you didn't add hours to your day. You know, you don't have 28 hours a day, so you can add in a workout or add some of those things. You just reoriented your day.
I really want to do this.
To reprioritize what you really wanted to do.
Yeah. But you know what also helped with that? I think there were two things that helped. One is I didn't start exercising like January 1st and just like start cold turkey on that. Or can you start something cold turkey?
Yeah.
Just out of the blue.
Yes.
I didn't just start it out of the blue. I actually like just started when I was in the mood for it in December. And I've, those of you who know me know I have a complicated history with exercise and with working out. And so
you made that sound way more complicated than I think it actually is.
It's, you know, you're on the wagon, you're off the wagon again. So this has been the most consistent year. And, so I think one of it is that I just started at a point when I felt ready instead of just like ready or not. January 1st has got to be the day. But the other piece of that too is that I think I backed off the expectation with that in that I made it one, like the works were a little bit shorter, so I felt like they were more manageable in the mornings. And the second was that I didn't feel like I had to be so strict with it that it had to be like every day for this set amount of time. If I missed a day, which happened, you know, often enough, then I'd be like, okay, like just the next morning I'd have my shot and I'd get up and get back into that routine. And so the routine stuck throughout this year.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So I told Jake, obviously went through this planner last year. And there were 7 goals that like I came up with, and they're kind of in a variety of areas. And so, some of them are specifically with family, some of them are specifically with business, and then some are specifically geared towards myself. I have 7 here. And so I'll just start with the first one, and it might not even seem like a goal, but for me, I realized it had to be. And that was to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like the broad goal was to ask for help. And then more specifically, it was like from family, from friends, and even from like other professionals. Because just my personality and my mentality is that like I have to do it all without asking for help. And I don't ask for help. Even now it's hard. And so what's great about this planner is that it like actually like walks you through like what steps you have to build in to be able to like achieve that goal. Mm-hmm. And so it asks you to come up with your goal and then it asks you why. And so that's what really took me a long time to kind of process through. Last January was like, well, what's the reason for this goal and the why? So the why for that goal last year was like, I couldn't grow or be my best self as like a mom, a wife, an entrepreneur if I continue to do it alone. Mm-hmm. And like the, even the more I read about that, it's like businesses don't grow with one person doing everything all of the time. So like that you do have to ask for help.
Yeah, you have to like delegate and maybe let go of certain things. But I think for you, you also are hesitant to like you almost feel like you're putting somebody out. Right, and you're this is my responsibility. I'm going to handle it. You don't want to inconvenience someone else with something that you consider to be your own.
Right, and so part of it was like in some of my like my mini goals to help get me there is that I couldn't feel guilty for asking for help. Like I had to let go of my own guilt to ask for help because I could ask someone for help, and if they said no, then I could accept that, mm-hmm. and I wasn't putting someone out, but like even having the courage to ask because I didn't want to put people out.
So what made that, I'm interested that that's your first, and I remember talking about this a while back, but what made that your, like the first thing that you thought of? Cause you almost wonder, like you must have felt like you needed help and that there was a barrier to actually accessing it when you were writing that down.
I think for a long time, I'm the kind of person that a lot of people go to for help. And so I was taking on like the role of helping other people in a variety of ways and in a variety of contexts. And then feeling at the end of the day, like really let down that no one was like, that I couldn't ask for help because I'm the person that helps others. And so where does the person who helps everybody else get help? Like, I think that in my mind, it was that, well, I must, since everybody relies on me for help, I must not need it. Mm-hmm. When the reality is I actually do need it. I'm just afraid to ask. Or if I ask for help, then I'm admitting that I am not who other people think I am. Mm-hmm. And so I felt tired and I felt worn down. And so I had to like be honest about that and start asking for help. Mm-hmm. And so that looked in a variety of ways.
So how would you rate yourself on that this year?
I would honestly give myself a 5. I think I made some effort
out of
325. No, out of like 10, I would say like asking for help before I was like on a 0. And I think I'm like now at a 50% where mm-hmm. like I'll ask for help, maybe hesitant to do it. I still feel a little guilty, but like when push comes to shove, if there are no other options, like I will ask for help, but it's mm-hmm. still hard. So I'd like to get better at it, but I think I made some strides. Mm-hmm. What made it more difficult was then in March, everything really changed. And so we couldn't ask for help because we couldn't see people. Mm-hmm. We couldn't rely on other people. We were relying on each other and what we could do for our family. And so it was hard to bring in other people outside to ask for help because that wasn't an option.
Yeah. And I think this year has been a lesson in adaptation. Because I feel like a lot of the ways we kind of pictured going about our year, and I would say like in January and February, we got a lot of like momentum towards the things that we were working towards. And I really feel like, you know, come March, it just like took the wind out of that sail so abruptly. And that's what I noticed. Like I had a really solid morning routine where, you know, I'd work out and I'd had my Jordan's daily journal. And I would just kind of be like working through that. And it was like this well-oiled system. We were feeling really comfy with that. And same thing with you, like just some of the things we had access to were shut out. And even once we could access those a little bit more comfortably later on, it, at least for me, like it felt like it was harder to get back to where we were, or we're still trying to figure out like what was accessible, what was appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. It made it tough. All right. What was your next goal?
Okay. Well, I was going to talk a little bit more specifically about exercise. I was going to start with a win. So I'm glad we knocked that out. There's really too many to list here. I don't think I've read these categories. So I'll read the categories. So I had a professional category. Another one was financial. There was family. There was health. And then there's just, I would call it a hodgepodge, a grab bag, but I labeled it personal.
Okay. Personal's good.
And then there's just these bullet points underneath some of these. Another one that I had listed here was that probably October of 2019, we started like trying to be more intentional with conversation with one another. And so that was a goal that I had written down as well. So it actually starts with word maintain. But like maintain these date night-ish, like intentional conversations with Rosanna. So I think we have, and you can join me in this reflection because you're involved here. But I think that, you know, in some ways, like led to this podcast and, you know, gave us an opportunity to continue very similar conversations, but in a format that we didn't really imagine when we started those. So I think that there was similarly like an ebb and flow to the consistency that we were able to have that this year. But that certainly, I think, would become like this real core practice of ours, and looking forward to maintaining that further.
Yeah. So I like that you use the word maintain in one of your goals, because I think when we do the year in review, we're always thinking like, okay, what are all the things I need to accomplish or start new? What are
the things I'm not doing that I need to?
Right. And then we make these crazy lists that we don't. But I think like a year in review, what it does is it allows you to know like what needs to be added, what needs to be removed, and what needs to be retained or maintained. And so like looking at like the past year, you can say like, I want to continue to do this. I want to take this, I want to remove this from my life or my, you know, my daily routine, or like it's more about shifting things. And I think we don't look at enough of either maintaining or taking things away. We're always looking at adding, mm-hmm. but nothing is going to grow if you just continue to add. Like if you're planting things in a garden and you never take out the weeds and the roots and the things that aren't growing and you just keep putting more seeds, like it's not going to be healthy. And so I think that's great. And I think we did a good job of trying to maintain that as much as we could this year.
Mm-hmm. You right, know, cause that's obviously, like the autopilot part where we can just kind of be passing each other and like sharing, what we call like manager, info, like, oh, you got to take the kids here. I have this thing tonight. And those are easy conversations to have, but they're not deep. Yeah. So making sure that we do have some of that face-to-face intentionality with one another.
And even, I mean, this is funny because it relates to the goal of asking for help. I think it was 2 weeks ago, the weather around here was really, it was like manageable. It wasn't like too cold. But we hadn't really had a really good conversation in a while just because the kids are here and there's a lot going on.
They're always
and
here.
So I called my mom and I said, hey, can we just drop off the kids for an hour so we can just like, we're going to take the dog for a walk and just talk because the dog doesn't interrupt. And that's what we did. You know, like I didn't want to ask my mom to like take time out of her day to like watch our kids for us. But what it did is it allowed us to have some of that time.
Yeah.
And trying to do
like
it guilt-free.
It's like an hour-long uninterrupted conversation.
So much.
Not late at night. It's like, oh.
Or not on the podcast.
It's glorious time. Right.
So, yeah. So kind of stemming off of that maintaining that time with me, which mm-hmm. I was super thankful for. My second goal was, so the first one was asking for help. So again, this one is, it's just, it might be an odd thing, but I think it shows you like the range of what some of your goals or intentions can be for the year. It was take things off my plate by not saying yes to everything. Mm-hmm. And the reason why was because by saying no, I can focus on my goals and what's important to me and not the things that other people need from me. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I could be head room mom and I could be, you know, president of the PTO and I could be like, just right now, I can't be all those things. Yeah. And it's not saying I don't want to do those things or there's not time for those things. Like there are times that like when it feels right, I want to be able to say yes. And when I feel overwhelmed, I just have to be able to say no.
Right. Yeah. And I think we used to be more inclined to say yes, or even like look for things. Like no one was even asking and we're like, yes. Like, what's the question? Just so we can like get involved and to do that. I think that's true for both of us. Yeah. But I think we're at that kind of maybe that more even keel middle age where we don't have to like prove anything necessarily to ourselves or to others as much as maybe we felt like we needed to.
Yeah. And my family is important to me. You're important to me. The kids are important to me. So, you know, I want to be able to see their games. I want to be able to support you in things that you want to do. I want to be able to have some of my own leisure time to like explore things I'm interested in. And so like, in order to make that work, that takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And so my yeses are easy. Like I know when I want to say yes. And I found just a lot of times I was saying yes reluctantly. And so I'm more comfortable now in letting my yeses be yes and letting my nos be nos. I don't think I had a lot of boundaries before. And I think that just has become important as our family has continued to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I will list one. There's a lot more to choose from, but I want to go into the professional realm here. And I listed several things just at, you know, as a professional, but they all have the same theme, and that is connection. Actually, one of them was eating lunch with colleagues more. It flew out the window. I don't think I've really, you know, eaten a good lunch with any colleagues since I'm not in the same room when I'm meeting with people anymore. But still, like this idea of, and I have other things listed there, but this idea of, I want to say like connected, like I was just isolated, you know, professionally, but I feel like there are certain habits, and not just at work as in like at the building, but just within the profession in general, certain ways that you can get connected with others, and social media is one of them. But also, like becoming more accessible and accessing like the greater wealth of tools and of people and of minds, really of like the community of professionals that are working together to improve their practice. And so, I mean, this struck me from a lot of the conversations we've had where the people who are really at their best are not these lone rangers. They're the ones who are like co-participating with other people who are striving towards the same goal and like sharing ideas and collaborations and even like, you know, competitions and drama, you know, with those things. And so finding ways both in person and digitally to connect with others. So I started JordanCatapano.com. A year ago as a way just to, for myself, just to process a lot of my thoughts and get them out there and get feedback for others. That's had limited attention since this summer, mainly because of the way like our whole like workflow and routine and focus kind of flew off. But involvement even in Twitter, there's tons of educators on Twitter. And so just having access to like that stream of ideas was very important. Something I have done in the past and wanted to have this resurgence so that I could bring that back as a better professional, a better teammate in my specific responsibilities.
Yeah. I mean, I had some business goals too. Yeah. And mine is very short. It just says grow my business.
Okay.
And that's because I started like this event planning thing probably, it was 4 years ago, event planning specifically. I had something before that. It kind of shifted. It grew into event planning. And every year I say, okay, I'm going to grow my business. And then like I got pregnant with another kid and, you know, like, you know, you kind of go through that, like, okay, now mm-hmm. I'm 9 months pregnant. How many events can I really do, you know, right before I give birth or like what happens right after? And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of been a struggle just to maintain. And I was like, okay, finally, you know, we're done having kids. The kids will be in school this year. And so my big thing was like, okay, we're going to grow the business. The year. And so I got a lot of headway in January, February, and the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. I set some like pretty specific goals about how many weddings I wanted to book, about how many total paid events I wanted to book. And then as like one of my like side goals, one of my other goals, it was really just to move outside my comfort zone, both personally and professionally. And so like I opened up my social media on Instagram, in the month of February last year and gained like 150 followers by like kind of being on it and doing videos and trying new things. Mm-hmm. So instead of just maintaining by like booking my repeat clients and getting some things, I put myself on the not for the first time. Like mm-hmm. there were specific things that I was doing, that I wasn't doing previously, doing a little bit of like spending money to make money by like, you know, paid marketing and advertising on the not, trying different software like Honeybook to like book clients and manage and maintain that to like streamline my process, things that I had been afraid to try that I finally did to see if it would make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so now looking back, I'm looking back at like my stats and my numbers. Hey, did I book those 6 to 8 weddings that I said I wanted to book? Did I book 15 paid events? And, you know, what transpired with what happened in 2020 and how that derailed part of it. And now how do I continue to set those goals for my business for 2021. You know, what is that going to look like? Because people were asking me all year, gosh, what does this mean for your business? Are you like, is the wind out of your sails? Yeah. I feel so bad for you.
I remember in March and April, you were constantly on the phone and your work was like just reviewing contracts with, or not the contracts with you, but the contracts
for my clients with their vendors
and seeing like what plan B needed to be.
And supporting them through that and working with them. And so what was interesting about part of the reasoning for growing my business, my why was I wanted to build a brand and a persona that transpires just like event planning or like wedding coordination. Like I wanted it to use me like as someone with a voice and a reason to motivate, inspire, and help change others. Mm-hmm. And so what's funny is I was able to do that in a very unexpected way by being there for my clients. Like even just their feedback of like me being there for them, like helping them walk through this is I've left them with like really like what I want to, who I want to be and like the legacy I want to leave. And that's to like inspire and help people and help change them to be better too. And so many of them have said like, you know, I couldn't have done this without you. Like, I don't know what we would have done. And like, not in a silly way, but mm-hmm. you know, people who are invested in getting married and it's kind of being ripped apart and then moving forward anyways, you know, me, you know, kind of being coach and counselor through it as opposed to just, you know, looking at contracts.
Yeah. So you had a vision for, like you said, like just transcending the transactional nature of it. Like you're not just performing a service, but yeah, it's like event coordinating and, you know, life coaching.
Well, I want to leave them better than when before they met me in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
And so even I had a couple who had to cancel, postpone, then ended up having a smaller ceremony. And even I talked to this client not too long ago and she said, oh, just so you know, like we're going to have this big celebration probably in 2022 and you know, we're going to use you again. Right. Yeah. And it was just like that, like there's a connection there and like we've established some trust and they're still like coming to me for advice and feedback. And like, it's not just about like me coordinating their wedding. There's something lasting there.
Yeah. And I think it's more fulfilling for you at the same time. Cause it's like, I don't want to just like clock in and then get paid and then clock out. But there's, you know,
there's care there,
a piece of you that you're trying to deliver with each of those. So I think it's good to reflect on. I mean, this year really like shut down that industry for quite some time.
It
so
sure did.
It's, you've been revving your engine a little bit more. And I'll be excited to see what next year brings with that.
Yeah.
I think, we can continue through these, but we're coming towards the end of our time. But I wanted to ask you, like, what's the relationship you see between kind of reflecting individually on the things that you said a year ago you wanted to do or to be like, and then like reflecting conversationally with someone else?
Well, I think that's the one thing that we talk about is like, or two things, intentionality and accountability. So like I set these goals last year and it's not like you helped me devise these, but I kind of told you what I was looking at.
With some good conversations.
So you could kind of support me in it or check in and be like, hey, how's that going? Or like, are you working on that? So I think that accountability piece is good. But a lot of times the conversations that I have with you, like after the fact, after I review it and go through it and like, hey, did I meet this or not? When we talk, it helps me kind of process like how I'm feeling about it. It kind of lets me really know like where I'm at, because sometimes I don't know where I'm at and it takes a conversation for me to like almost draw it out of myself. Yeah. Instead of like being in your head and like being like, oh, I didn't meet that goal. What does that mean? It means I'm, you know, you kind of get down on yourself. Whereas sometimes processing it helps me understand. And then even getting your insight because I trust you is helpful too. Or you point out something that I've kind of missed along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Like you kind of need both. And certainly over the next week, and we'll talk more about our process over the next week, but we'll leverage both of those aspects as well. Cause you need to be able to think through these things on your own. But it's helpful to have at least one other person that you can share them with and someone to ask those tough questions. Like there's more here that I'd like to talk about. And obviously one of those questions is like, well, why didn't you end up like fulfilling this thing for yourself that you started? Like what changed along the way or what barriers came up? In fact, actually, that's one of the things that I listed when I was doing my little Jordy plan from a year ago. One of the categories was what gets in the way of this? Meaning like of my ideal day and some of the things I envisioned for myself. So I wrote down lack of energy, changes in motivation, stress, which just diverts my mind away, lack of confidence, lack of direction, or just like more, I would say it like more fires, you know, like you feel like you're putting out fires instead of like being more proactive. So like more fires / work / emergencies / things like that. So I think that's a piece of the bigger reflection. And those of you listening, you need to know, like, you can't knock this out in a short 30-minute conversation. This will be first of, I think, several conversations that we'll have over this week, just kind of dissecting more of what 2020 brought us. There's some other things that we didn't really address that did come up that weren't part of our original plan as well. Obviously, the pandemic is kind of the game changer with the access and the opportunities we thought we had and ended up not having. But this was a year of, you know, I think the euphemism is like civil unrest, but like a really hard look at, you know, just the topic of race in America, race relations, how much we know or like thought we knew, an opportunity to maybe like kind of unlearn some things and open our eyes to some new things. And the opportunity has always been there, but, you know, it's, you know, unfortunately sometimes takes, you know, a catalyst to really like spur that. And I certainly felt that spur this year. And then we had an election, and those years are never comfortable. And we're still, you know, at this time kind of reeling from that and reeling through that process. So there's these external elements that I think kind of end up shaping and informing the things that we independently plan. So I think the question is, how well did we achieve what we wanted to, but also how well did we respond when something that wasn't really in our control or wasn't necessarily planned come up too?
Yeah, you know, like we have to grant ourselves the permission to like change our mind, to update our goals, to shift our thinking. Like at any point this year, you know, some of those goals I had set for myself were still in line with like what I could manage just, you know, based on what was going on. But like at some point, should I have added a different goal? You know what I mean? Based on, you know, what was going on around us, or mm-hmm. should I have modified it? And I think sometimes we're so like locked in or like fixed. Like once we decide on something, like it has to be that and it has to go that way. And I think that's good in some ways because you like lock in and you focus and you move forward. But, you know, last week with the topic of resiliency and mm-hmm. what that looks like, knowing again when to shift, when to back down, when to say no, when to, you know, move around an obstacle mm-hmm. Becomes important. So like, you know, the reason why we set these goals is to like choose our direction. And it's going to help us like simplify our lives, focus our time. But that doesn't mean that we can't change that as we go along. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be locked in for an entire year or an entire 3 months. Like we can let some of that change and growth happen.
Yeah. So it's like the core goal. I'm going to keep moving forward. How that looks, I'm going to plan as best as possible from now how that looks, but I also need to recognize that moving forward might mean something different 6 months from now.
Yeah.
So what is your process going to look like over the next week? So next week's episode is going to be, surprise, surprise, The Relentless Pursuit, sharing what our goals and vision is individually and as a family for 2021. So like I said, that takes some effort to actually get down. So what does your process look like for conjuring that?
So I think I'm going to just look at, so like you had said, you had made goals for like the categories in your life, personal, professional, family, like there are, you know, categories. And so sometimes it's easier to kind of clarify that. So like, I'll probably go through similar categories, health, family, finances, career, recreation, and kind of like rate where I feel like I am in those. Mm-hmm. You know, especially like with health and like you're talking about where you're at, like, where am I? Like if I'm at a 9, like I don't maybe need to set new goals in that. I just need to maintain that goal. So I don't really have to like kind of worry about that, but maybe focus on the areas that I feel like are deficient or lacking or I feel lost in to kind of help me focus and drive me forward. But I want to look at some bigger questions too. And I think you kind of alluded to this is what would you have time for or what am I making time for? Mm-hmm. Because that's something that's intentional. And like something that you have to work at.
Yeah.
Where would you spend your time? What kind of people do you want in your life? You know, how would I spend my mornings or evenings? Mm-hmm. So like things that like get me to like question like, yeah, what does an ideal day look like? What mm-hmm. do I want to get out of it? Where do I want to allocate that time? What do I want to do regularly? You know, just some of those questions. Where do I want to give my best? You know, I'm going to give in a lot of areas, but where am I going to give my best?
Yeah.
Or where does it need to be? And how do you want your days to feel?
Mm-hmm. So your process is really to just ask yourself a lot of those questions, like almost these ideal questions where we know, like in the reality, it might be a little bit harder to execute those. But if you could kind of dream a perfect 2021, then what would the elements of that be?
Yeah. And not that, you know, I'm going to take this vacation or like buy this thing, but it's more of like that. How do I want my life to feel? Mm-hmm. And where do I feel how can I feel like in control, and how can I feel like I'm thriving?
Yeah. Vacation might be a nice one to put on the list.
Yes.
Right. My process is, I mean, it's not so different. It involves a lot of questions and then taking some sincere time to really try to answer on my own. But I'm going to break out the notepad again and spend some time trying to look at not just what I want to do, but my guiding question for next year is also going to be like, who do I want to be? And from that question, hopefully will stem, you know, some of the goals in each of the domains of life. And I know we talk about that, like the idea of domains on this podcast a lot. And so there's certain things we're just inevitably going to be interacting in. And I want to make sure that I kind of have a clear picture of what seems not just ideal, but also like the most central to who I envision myself becoming.
That has a lot to do with legacy. That's what is the legacy you're leaving, right? To your kids, to your career. Like, you know, it's at when you narrow it all down, like, who are you?
Yeah.
And so how do you?
I'm not really thinking about passing it on to others. I mean, they can have the legacy if they want.
But what's your legacy? Like yeah. When someone says, you know, who is Jordan Catapano? What would they say? Yeah. And so if you're looking at what you want people to remember from you, like that stems from the things that you say and the ways that you do the things that you do. And mm-hmm. Those are things that people see.
Yeah. So I'll be writing those down. That we'll have next week, really a sharing of some of our lists and vision. And then you and I really have to talk about how we can support one another in that. So I'm looking forward to that element of the conversation too.
Yeah.
I felt a lot of support in 2021 from you.
I did too.
I appreciate that.
It was a year.
Yeah.
It was a year. And it was hard and it was different and it was harder for a lot of people than it was for us for a variety of reasons. But mm-hmm. I think always having a plan and having some intentions has helped us to continue to move forward.
Yeah. All right. So whenever you may be listening to this, so we encourage you to take the next week to ask yourself some of those same challenging questions about who you want to be and what your ideal vision is for yourself, for the typical day, and for who you're becoming. Picture yourself 1 year from now, looking back on this conversation. Who would you like to be and what would you like to say about that year? So we encourage you to take a week to really think that through and then join us on our next conversation as you hear Rosanna and mine.
How about our
results? And we'll look forward to sharing that with all of you and getting as prepped as we can for 2021.
See you guys soon.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope you will use this conversation as a starting point for your own. We hope you're encouraged to think and act more intentionally.
If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com, where you can find notes on today's show, plus additional blog posts, and you can subscribe to our free members list.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends.
Facebook and Instagram are two great places to connect with us for daily doses of our quotable quotes, behind the scenes, and real-time photos, videos, and challenges.
Until next time, let us know how you are taking life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursuing what matters.